Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Today we return for another look at 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, which talks about holiness. And thus far we have established a couple of very important facts. Number one, that God is holy. And number two, that God requires holiness of men. I read the text, 1 Peter 1:15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God is holy, no question about that. But God requires holiness of men, and that is a statement that would be questioned by many. I doubt that any, hardly any, probably no radio listener would question my first statement, God is holy. We all understand that. That's one of the basic attributes of God. That's something that every Christian understands, or at least knows about. I don't know how well we understand it. I don't know how thoroughly we understand what the holiness of God involves, but nevertheless, it's something that we all understand, at least on the surface, and agree with. God is holy, no question about it. But when I tell you God requires men to be holy, that causes pause in the minds of some. Really? Are you sure? Isn't that a bit legalistic or something like that? And so that's why we have to explore this text very, very carefully. To that end, I thank you for joining me on this Friday, May 10, and I'm very grateful for those radio listeners whose financial support enables us to minister on this station. Well, the reason why holiness is required, and that's another question that we have addressed on the broadcast yesterday and will continue today, the reason why holiness is required of men is because God created us holy. God, being a holy God, created Adam and Eve, created humanity holy in the beginning. Now, I use the word loosely. I recognize that from a theological standpoint, some would prefer not to use the word holy to describe Adam and Eve in their original creation. They certainly were sinless. So if we can speak in broad terms and not be too technical at this point, if we can equate holiness with sinlessness, can we do that for this purpose, the purpose of this discussion? I think most of you would agree that sinlessness is holiness and holiness is sinlessness. So, God is holy. God is without sin. God created man in the beginning sinless. And therefore, in that respect, Adam and Eve reflected the holiness of God. But, of course, as we know, Adam and Eve fell into sin. They thereafter procreated a race of people who were like themselves in their sinful and fallen nature. And we are born into this world sinful, not holy. And sinlessness doesn't describe any of us. In fact, just the opposite. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's the characteristic of humanity. We are sinful. That's a description of who we are. God is holy. We are sinful. How, therefore, can God require holiness? Well, he can because that's the way he created us originally, not the way that I came into the world, but the way that the human race was created originally, and obviously that is the way that we should be. But there's a second reason. why holiness is required, and that is because of redemption. We who have been saved have been recreated by grace. We have been purchased. That's what redemption refers to. We have been purchased by God. We belong to Him. He owns us. He purchased us off the auction block of sin. He purchased us out of the kingdom of darkness. He has recreated us by giving us a new heart. We who were marred and sinful in our departure from the original creation have now been recreated by the power of God and because of the grace of God. And therefore, God has done something for us who are God's children that sets us apart from the world of fallen sinners. That's who we were, but that's not who we are. We have been changed. We have been rescued. We have been removed. We are no longer in that category. The category of fallen sinners is the category that we were in when we were born, but the moment that God saved us by His grace, He moved us into a different category, and not only put us in a different category, but He began a work within us to change us, to recreate us. We have been recreated by grace. We are being recreated by grace. And it's obvious that we, therefore, have been selected for special privilege. In fact, that's the language here in 1 Peter 1:15. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Special privilege, He who called you. That speaks of divine initiative. That speaks of the effectual call. What a privilege. He who called you, who rescued you from death and destruction, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who placed you into His family, the family of God, who made you into obedient children instead of disobedient rebels. Remember that in verse 14? As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, as obedient children. That's stated as a matter of fact. If you are a Christian at all, you are an obedient child. If you're not an obedient child, then you are not a born-again child. Again, not perfect obedience, but a different disposition, a desire to obey, an endeavor to obey, something that we did not have before God called us unto Himself. And so having been placed into God's family as obedient children, we now have a filial relationship with the Most High God. We are His children. We call Him Father. And as His children, we are now in His family and under His authority. Just as human fathers have authority over their children, God-given authority. So God, the Heavenly Father, has authority over His children. Now, as sovereign ruler of the universe, He has authority over everyone and everything, of course. But having been saved and brought into this unique relationship that we do not share with unconverted people, namely that we are the children of God and He is our Heavenly Father, we have been brought into this special relationship where we recognize His authority. That's what's different. Fallen humanity is under God's authority, but not willingly, and in many cases not even knowingly. The day will come when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, which is a way of saying we'll acknowledge Him as rightful authority over them. But that's not where fallen humanity is at now. That's not where we were before we were saved. But now we are members of God's family and we are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And by virtue of the fact that we are the children of God, we have a responsibility to represent the family that we belong to manifest the family likeness. And what is that likeness? And back to our text. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So there is a reason why holiness is required. God has a right to require it of everybody because of creation, but he has a special right to require it of everyone who has been joined to Christ in redemption and adopted into the family of God and is now responsible to represent the family likeness. And what is the family likeness? Holiness. So those who claim to be Christians but do not acknowledge this requirement, will not acknowledge it, in fact, will argue against it, call it legalistic. We talked about that on the broadcast yesterday. Reject this whole concept that Christians are under obligation to be holy. Now, we may quibble about what all the details of being holy may entail. That's where we can get into legalism, adding man-made rules to what the Bible has said and said, this is part of it. There's a whole tradition of Christianity in America and in other parts of the world as well, but we'll talk about America because most of us are more familiar with that than any place else, that is called the holiness movement, a whole branch of Christianity that is identified by the term holiness, a noble thing. I hope you understand, because that's what we're talking about right here, the requirement to be holy. But sometimes that becomes more associated with a certain style of dress, not just the desire to be modest, but required to dress in certain styles of clothing and certain hairstyles and so forth. And sometimes we will even see people and we say, well, they are holiness people. And oftentimes that's actually a matter of pride with the people who are that way, because they think that these externals are what identify them as holy. And I think they have missed the point. And that's why I say we may quibble over the details of what it means to be holy. But obviously, to be holy means to not live in sin. Just take the basic commandments in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, for example. Holy people are not habitual liars. Holy people do not live in immorality. Holy people do not dishonor their parents. Holy people do not take the name of God in vain. They don't curse and swear and use the name of God in that way. You see, holy people certainly are not murderers. Holy people are not those who covet what belongs to others. Now, these are some of the basic things. There are many others, of course, and we can study the New Testament to find specifically what are other requirements of New Testament believers and what it means to be holy. But this is what changes. These things that characterized us before we were saved are now changed completely, and we are not those who live in immorality, and we are not those who are habitual liars, and so forth. That's what it means. That's the real holiness people. We are those who manifest the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the deeds of the flesh. Check it out in Galatians chapter 5, and you'll find out what this is all about. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.